Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. We've said this before, that the Apostle Paul is going from the impossible or from the absolute greatest thing you could ever do to something that he can do and is very capable at doing. So he says this, if I speak in the tongues of men, which Paul knew several languages he could do, so this is referring to known earthly languages, then he says, if I could speak in the tongues of angels, something he could not do, but even if he could speak in the tongues of angels, without what would he be just a noisy gong? Without love. And if I have prophetic powers, which he did, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, which no one will on this side of eternity, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, even if he sacrificed so much, and yet even if he was to sacrifice his life, and obviously he's still alive, but didn't have love, he would gain nothing. And then we get into verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Last week we spent some time in patience. This week we're going to look a little bit at both. And the whole thing is this. Everything stops at verse 4. Until you have verse 4, you really can't move on. Last week we talked about the word patient. The word used here always describes patience with people, not circumstances. Okay, the bus is not on time. I need to be more patient. Well, that's nice, but it's not what he's talking about here. The word patient means literally to stretch, to spread out passion, to stretch it out. That's why the King James says long-suffering. Literally, it means long-tempered. Love's patience is the ability to be inconvenienced or taken advantage of by a person over and over again and yet not be upset or angry. When it says love is patient, it's this idea of trust. And the ultimate demonstration of love for God is patience. That's why Paul begins in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The first quality of love, love is what? Patient. It waits upon the Lord. It trusts the Lord. It knows that in His timing, God will come through. And the same thing with people. The problem is that people are not like God. People inconvenience us out of selfishness. People hurt our feelings out of brashness. And so love's patience is the ability to be inconvenienced or taken advantage of by a person over and over and over again and yet not be upset or angry. And so we have to ask the question, how do we develop an attitude of kindness in the face of people that are constantly pushing our patience, constantly pushing us to an emotional response of frustration or anger or even hatred? How do you develop an attitude of kindness? Well, let's back up a bit. We've looked at developing an attitude of love. Christian love is a desire to perform actions that move us from self-centered living to a Christ-like response of sacrifice in order to benefit others. We live in an age of selfishness. Christ wants us to become selfless. Christian love is a desire to perform actions that move us from being self-centered to selfless. Christian joy. Christian joy is a good feeling. I love this. Maybe this is my favorite one that I'm working on right now. Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul, produced by the Holy Spirit as He causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. Think about that. A good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit. No matter what situation you look at, do you see Christ and His beauty in the world and in the Word? Peace, not the peace of good circumstances, but the calm assurance that what God is doing is best, is good, is right. That's peace. that no matter what's going on around me, I have this peace, knowing that God is doing what's right. And then patience. Last week we said that Christian patience is the ability to wait without becoming hasty or impetuous. How does God answer prayer? Three ways. God says yes. God says no. But the hardest answer of all sometimes is what? Not yet. Wait. And so patience, Christian patience, is the willingness to wait upon God and His will. Over and over in Scripture, you see examples of people that said, I don't want to wait for this child. I'll do it on my own. You see this person that says, I don't want to wait for the prophet to arrive and pray for the sacrifice. I'll offer it on my own. Over and over again, you see kings that would say, I don't want to wait for God to give me this land. I'll just take it away from this helpless person. And so Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, okay, say it with me. Don't look at anything, but begin to memorize it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. What's the next one? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, what? When you choose the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I can be a little sarcastic sometimes. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. But one of the things I'm trying to break myself of, but I'm not really sure I should do it yet, is when people are being kind of snarky, when people are being outright rude, I just love to look at them, especially if they call themselves a believer, and I love to say, now, which fruit of the Spirit is working right now in you? Because that should stop you in your tracks, shouldn't it? Na, 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 na. And you're doing this, and you're doing that, and then, and it's just, hold on, I have a question. And what's the question? What fruit of the Spirit am I seeing right now? Because I'm not feeling the love, and I'm not feeling the joy or the peace. I'm not seeing it. And so we need to ask ourselves, could you pass the sarcastic mic test? When you're in a restaurant and the food's a little slow in coming, what fruit of the Spirit are you showing? When you're in traffic and you've got an unsafe friend in the car with you, what fruit of the Spirit are you showing? When your children just push you right to the edge, what fruit of the Spirit are you choosing? Well, let's keep going. The word kind. Let me see what I've got for notes here. Kindness. The word kind means sweet to all. Sweet to all. The idea is act of goodness. Just as patience will take anything from others, kindness will give anything. In fact, if we could say something here, love is patient, love is kind. Love receives a hurt, but returns a hug. Okay? Could you say that with me? Love receives a hurt, but returns a hug. Love is patient. Love is kind. What Paul is saying here is that love receives a hurt, returns a hug. And a great example of this is Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 60. Stephen was an evangelist. Stephen was a man of God. Stephen talked about Christ to whoever he could. But a group of men said, we don't like this. They brought liars and said he blasphemed the temple. He did this and that. As they were stoning him, based on false accusations, one of the first Christians accused of blasphemy, taken outside Jerusalem, being stoned, in Acts chapter 7, verse 60, what were the last words of Stephen? Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Even while they were killing him, he was more concerned about his murderers than about his own just getting whatever he wanted. Love receives a hurt, but what? Returns a hug. The ultimate example of this would be Jesus. As he was dying on the cross, what are the famous last words of Jesus as he was dying on the cross? Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ received a hurt and returned a hug. It's hard to believe that this man who was tortured and beaten, that he would give his life for us. And that's how God loves us. Let me give you some verses. If you have your Bible, I'll look them up at the same time as you. But Micah, right between Psalms and the New Testament, Hosea, and then Jonah, Micah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Okay? Hosea, Joel, Amos. Okay, but Micah. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says this. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to love justice and to love what? Kindness. And to walk humbly with your God. True faith required by God is that we have to get into the forgiveness business. What's the next verse? Luke chapter 6, verse 35. In Luke 6, verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is what? Kind to the ungrateful and the evil. See, again, it's this whole thing about how Jesus turns religion upside down. How Jesus turns shallow faith. He just throws it over. And basically what he says is this. Anybody can be nice to people who are what? Nice to them. But it is in the ditches, it's in the foxholes, it's in the trenches of real living that true fruit of the Spirit living comes through, because we choose the choice of kindness. God, even though He could all sentence us immediately, He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. And that brings us to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is what? Patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. Well, how do we develop kindness? Let's look at some examples. If kindness is to be sweet to all, the power of God in your life. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Joseph, sold into, hated by his brothers, spoiled by his father, hated by his brothers because he was the favorite, given a gift that his brothers were not given, even though he was the second youngest, given this coat of many colors that really was a royal robe, and so he pranced around as a spoiled child in front of his brothers. God gave him dreams, but instead of acting in humility, he acted in pride and arrogance and announced, guess what, brothers, you may hate me, but someday you're going to all bow down to me. Joseph was a spoiled little brat. That's the only way to see him. But God wanted to use him. And no person will ever be used by God unless they are first broken. And so Joseph's brothers, they hated him. And one day the father said, go out into the field and find your brothers who have the sheep. And as he went out there, the brothers said, you know what? We just got to kill this guy. Let's just kill him and just get him out of our lives. But one of the brothers, Reuben, said, no, don't do this. And so they threw him into a cistern, which is like a great big, huge pit in the ground where in the winter when it would rain, it would fill with water, and then they would have drinking water through the dry parts of the season. And they throw him down into this empty cistern, and he's there. But all of a sudden, a caravan headed to Egypt comes along, and the brothers say, hey, why kill our brother when we can sell him and get some money? And so Joseph was sold for pieces of silver. And away he went to Egypt, sold by his brothers into slavery. He gets to Egypt, and for some reason, he begins to find favor in the eyes of people, and he goes to the home of an army commander. And he's there serving in that house, but that army officer, his name was Potiphar, he had a wife. And this wife saw this young, attractive man and said, I'm used to having what I want, and I want you. But Joseph said no and no and no and no. And one of the greatest lines in the Bible is when she finally got him cornered alone, he said, how could I do such a thing and sin against God? And he went to run away, but she grabbed his robe. And you may not know, but usually people had a robe, a very simple garment covering, and that's all they had. Remember, he was a slave. So when she grabbed this robe and pulled it off him, he basically ran out of the home disrobed, thinking she might have been embarrassed by people who saw him leaving. She immediately accused him of attacking her. And when the husband came home, in his anger, he didn't even want to hear Joseph's side of the story. It was off to prison, sold into slavery by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, falsely accused of something he didn't do, and now he's in prison. But once again, God is humbling him. God is molding him. God is showing him the power of God in our life. And so now he's in jail for we don't know how long. He was around 17 when he went into slavery. And the interesting thing is, he sat in prison where he met two other men, and God gave him the ability to understand dreams. And both the baker and the cupbearer had dreams, and Joseph interpreted them. One man was immediately killed. The other, the cupbearer, went back into the presence of the Pharaoh. And Joseph said as he was leaving, "Please, please remember me." But he was forgotten for years. And the interesting thing is if you talk to enough people, eventually when people talk about being forgotten, eventually they'll say, "Well, it really wasn't people who forgot me. It was God, and it's God's fault, and I'm going to blame God." But he didn't do that. He had a chance to become bitter, but he kept his faith. And one day he was called before Pharaoh, another dream, another interpretation, and suddenly he is now second in command in all of Egypt. And one day his brothers appear, starving, in need of food, and who should they come before? They don't recognize him. But guess who the brothers have to stand before and ask for food? Joseph. And it's in Genesis chapter 50 that we read Joseph's response. Because what do you do? Hated by your brothers. They wanted to kill you. They sold you into slavery. Because you were sold into slavery, you were falsely imprisoned. Your life has not been exactly what you wanted it to be. But notice this. Verse 20 of Genesis 50, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Joseph chose kindness. Wow. Now what about the power of love, the power of God in your life? Is that what about, you know, forgiveness? Now what, I put this question up here so I wouldn't forget it. What about forgive and forget? You can't forget. You don't forget. You choose to not treat the person as if you had forgotten. But so many people say, "Well, it'll just go away with time." No, it won't. You need to choose forgiveness and kindness right now. Other people say, "Well, maybe it'll get better if I do nothing." No, it won't. You need to choose forgiveness and kindness. So many wrong choices that avoid the act of forgiveness, of just saying, "I forgive, I will treat this person with love and kindness." And so what about forgive and forget? Well, sometimes people like to say, "Well, Mike, doesn't God forget?" No, he doesn't. There are verses that say it's like he forgets. But let me just ask you this. How would we know about Adam and Eve and their sin if God forgot? How would Moses know? God told him. How would we have a Bible filled with all the imperfections of sinful people if God wanted us to forget? It doesn't work that way. You have to set aside the bitterness and the pain and choose forgiveness. Choose kindness. The power of love. 1 Corinthians 13:4. This whole idea of Christian kindness, you know, to be intentionally sweet. Let me read to you. Women's Study Bible. I found this in my study this week. Kindness, this is from the Women's Study Bible. "Kindness in both Old and New Testaments refers to steadfast love expressed in action. To be kind is to show love. The Hebrew word hesed, which means God's kindness, the best kind of love God has. This idea of covenant kindness. The King James translates it, thy loving kindness is what? Sweeter than wine. But this word hesed, and the Greek word Christos, which is not Christos, which is Christ, but is very similar, isn't it? But the word for kindness involves both emotions and actions. It's love expressed in kindness. That's all it is. To be kind is to be loving. Marvelous kindness is an attribute of the Lord. God shows kindness abundantly to His children. His loving kindness is everlasting. He wants His children to be kind to one another. He expects them to express brotherly kindness even in the midst of trials. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a virtue. It's to be not just faith, but to add to your faith kindness, 2 Peter 1. Kindness, not a natural human reaction, must be developed in the believer in order for us to minister to others in the name of a loving God. If you're not kind, you can't really ever effectively be a light for Jesus. So Christian kindness is the demonstration of love through a visible act that benefits another person. So, how do we put this into application? The power of the oyster. How are pearls made? How are pearls made? Okay. Here's the interesting thing. I'm an oyster. Okay? But my mouth is always like this. But anyway, I'm an oyster. And I have a little tube that I suck in water and nutrients, and I filter it within me. And so here's the whole thing. I'm an oyster, and I sit there, and I'm down in the bottom on the sand, and I'm filtering in water. And it comes in one tube, and it goes out another. But every once in a while, there's a little piece of grit that gets stuck. And that piece of grit, it hurts. It's an irritant. But what's interesting is that through the magical powers of the oyster, that piece of sand, that piece of grit, that thing that hurts, the oyster, he begins to wrap it in a special fluid. And it just begins to embrace it. And rather than the grit changing him, he changes the grit. And what once was an irritant and a source of pain and something that just was meant to harm, you open up that oyster and you have what? A thing of beauty. And that's the power of the oyster. That's how pearls are made. What once was a source of pain becomes a source of beauty. And that's in us, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit within us gives us the power to take what was meant to be a source of pain and hurt and bitterness and anguish. And the Holy Spirit allows us to just embrace it and we, instead of becoming bad, become better. And we, instead of being broken or bitter, become better. And so how do we apply this? Well, whoops. S-A-N-D, if you have your sermon notes there, sand. Four letters. I think over 20 years ago, I heard this illustration from Rick Warren, a pastor in Southern California. Back in 1992, 25 years ago, probably, around 1992. 25 years ago, I heard the letter sand, and it has stuck with me forever. See the person who has hurt you differently. That's the first thing. If you want to be changed by the Holy Spirit, if you want to receive a hurt but return a hug, if you want to be patient and kind, you need to see the person who has hurt you differently. Luke 23, verse 24 says this, Father, forgive them. You have to see. You know, okay, write this down. This is the Mike-ism. You know you have forgiven someone when as soon as you see them in the mall or as soon as you see them at church or as soon as they show up for Thanksgiving, the first thought in your mind is, I hope that God is blessing them, and I hope that everything is well is going with them. Because if you're like me, and you've been hurt by people, what are you thinking? Burn, baby, burn. I hope you're miserable. No, that's not forgiveness. You know you have forgiven someone. You know that you truly see that person the way God sees them. When the first thought in your mind, oh, I ran into this person the other day at the mall, your friend says to you. Okay, do it. You know it. You've got this well rehearsed, don't you? Oh, did you? So how are they? And in your mind, you're thinking, oh, just tell me their life is miserable. It never works that way, does it? But you know you have forgiven when you see the person who has hurt you differently. That's S. A, accept the hurt and embrace it. You know, why me? It's not fair. How come nobody else goes through hardship? How come nobody else has ever gone through any type of difficulty? Accept the hurt and embrace it. The worst verse you can ever share with a person right after someone has died or right after they've found out terrible news is Romans 8:28. Don't share this verse. This is your verse. This is you right now. This is the verse you need to embrace if you want to overcome hurt. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, all things work together for good to those who love God. That's your verse. Maybe later on, sometime down the road, once people have processed their grief or once they've overcome some of the anguish and the pain, that can be their verse too. But for you, you need to see the person who has hurt you differently. You need to accept the hurt and embrace it. You need to notice how God has treated you. That's the end. Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind and compassionate to one another, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. No person can truly call themselves a Christian unless they truly come to that point of realizing how much God has accepted them and treated them and loved them. God sees you differently. God accepts you even when you're not that beautiful on the inside. God treats you with love and kindness and forgiveness. And so what do you need to do? The last one, the letter D. You need to do something kind. That's it. No verse. But here's what you need to write down. Because I love this person, think of someone that has caused you pain. Think of someone that has caused you hurt. Maybe you can't even write the first three words, because I love. But you need to. If Christ loves you, you need to love others. Love is patient. It stretches out passion. It doesn't just go to that dark place immediately. Love is patient and kind. And because I love this person, I will do this. Because I love this person, I will do something kind. And you have to fill in the blank. Because I love person who hurt you, because I love this person, I will do something kind. Really, the choice is yours. Bitter, broken, or better. But, just like an oyster, you have the Holy Spirit within you. You can choose to allow God to change you for the better. As James chapter 5, verse 7 says, and we finished off last week with this verse, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. God is coming. Healing is coming. Choices need to be made. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the latter rains. The early rain, the late rain, the rain of the spring, but the rain of the fall. In other words, there are times in your life where you're going to go through seasons of dryness and seasons of pain and seasons of difficulty, but you need to just patiently let God work. And that's what we need to do. And so, Pat, come on up. We'll finish off with a song. But S-A-N-D, see the person differently. What's the next one? Accept the hurt and embrace it. Notice how God has treated you. Do something kind. Let's pray. Father, may we realize that love receives a hurt. Love is patient. Love receives a hurt but returns a hug. Love is kind. And we can't do that apart from a work of grace, a work of your Spirit powerfully overcoming our personal desires to get back or to lash out or to just snap. Lord, help us to realize that we need to allow your Spirit to embrace the hurt, and we need to forgive and we need to love. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you care. Lord, help us to seek to bear your fruit that we might be your light. So, Father, help us. And right now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, if you are here this morning and your heart is just bursting with pain or you're struggling or you're going through a health difficulty, could you just raise your hand right now this morning? And I'd like to just pray over you. Okay, thank you for those two hands. Father, thank you this morning for those in our church family who are hurt, who are going through difficulties. Father, be with them. Encourage them. Lord, strengthen them. Help them, Lord, through this journey. May we, right now, we don't know who they are, but Lord, may we just continue to remember that every person in our church family has ups and downs, and they need our love and encouragement. Lord, help us to set aside those things that create friction and embrace love and kindness. So, Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for how you treat us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.